This is John Pacenti.
I'm Tony Winton.
I'm here with Tony, and we're still talking to sheriff candidates. Today's candidate, or this episode's candidate, is Ignacio Alvarez. Welcome.
Thank you both for the opportunity to be here.
You're Special Victims Unit, right?
That was my last assignment as a major in Special Victims.
So you have really been in the nitty-gritty of police work.
My last 8 years of my career was as a major. So I was the head of the town of Miami Lakes. I was in court services, responsible for not only security of the courts, but all the court orders requiring arrest or different type of executions. And then from there, I went to Northwest District. I was a district commander for 4 years. And then from there, I ended up as Special Victims.
And so right now?
I retired in December of 2017. And myself, along with my beautiful wife who's next to me, we have a law firm in Coral Gables and are owners of a small business.
So why are you running for sheriff?
That's a very good question. And that's the first question everybody asks me. I am a insider outsider. What I mean by that is I was a law enforcement for 25 years, going through all the ranks all the way up to major. And then I retired and have a very good business in Coral Gables growing year over year. When I started looking at the list of individuals that had signed up and or were talking about signing up, I was telling myself that there's nobody qualified to be sheriff day one, and this is too important. We have not had a sheriff in 66 years. So whoever sets up the office is setting up the office for its legacy for the next 10 or 20 years. So looking at the list and looking at, and obviously sitting down with my wife and discussing with my wife, I was telling my wife, we need somebody day one that could be sheriff because this is too important. I was a cop when I was 21 years old. For me, it's all about service and all about giving back to the community. And we made a mutual decision because it's going to affect my business to run because it's that important to me. And it's that important, not just to me, to us.
When did you jump into the race? Was Ramirez still in the race?
October 2nd. I had already decided I was going to do it before Freddie had his incident, but I didn't go to the elections until October 2nd.
And, you know, this is such a huge department. You're going to have to be working, you know, even though it's now an independent, like sheriff's office.
Correct.
You got to work with the mayor, and it's a very political office. Tell me your qualifications for being an administrator and a politician at the same time.
Absolutely. I think that I'm not the politician. And what I mean by that is I've never ran for politics before. I'm not the one that has that mechanism behind me that can hit it, like others that allegedly may have it. But what are my qualifications? I was in the department for 25 plus years. I was an officer. I did everything from patrolling in Northwest District to being an undercover detective and investigation in gangs. At the same time, as an officer, I started going back to school to finish getting my bachelor's degree. Got promoted to sergeant. I got sent to Carroll City. And in Carroll City, I ran the afternoon general investigation units. So I was in charge of all the investigations in Carroll City for the afternoon shift. At that time, I went back to school to get my master's degree. I got promoted to lieutenant. And as a lieutenant, I was a couple months in communications as the afternoon shift commander, then went to training bureau for the rest of my time as a lieutenant, where I was an executive officer, basically creating programs for the officers to be more professional. At that time, even though I was working full-time and raising a family, I went to law school. And I graduated all three degrees on top of my class. And since I believe in hard work, right when I took my final exam in law school, I took the promotional exam for captain. Passed my law school, and I passed the captain exam, became a captain. I got sent back to Northwest District. After a couple months, I immediately got made major. And in major, I have 8 years worth of management experience. Not many other candidates have that. Everything from running a district where we led crime reductions to 25-30%. A lot of people tell you, oh, I have plans to do this. I have plans to do that. I've done it. I've been in district command. I've been in town commands. I've been in sheriff services command. When I was talking about warrants and courts. And I've been running one of the biggest investigative units, which is Special Victims. From there, I retired. Honorably retired the end of 2017. opened up my own business. Now, as a practicing attorney where I go to court and I practice on a regular basis, now I have the other side of the law. I have experiences in defending police officers. I have experience in defending the civilians. And I have the experience I can use by being a lawyer that can bring back and lead this department. And by being a small business owner, even though we're doing extremely well budget-wise, you need to run this department as a business, not like as a government.
Yeah, and I was about to ask, what are your three, if you could, because we're asking all the candidates like the same kind of questions. If you could identify three things that you want to do, if you're elected sheriff, that you would do for this department that need to be done.
I think right off the bat, the biggest complaint that I'm getting throughout Miami-Dade County is the wait time for police officers.
Okay.
For example, I've met with a bunch of residents out of the Ponce Davis area, which is that little pocket right outside Coral Gables in South Miami. And one person was telling me that they had a fire. It took 15 minutes for fire to get there, much less hours for the cops to get there.
Is that a resource issue, understaffing?
It's an understaffing issue. I always say this in my other interviews. What was the number of sworn officers and civilians in 2008 with Miami-Dade Police Department? It was roughly...
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, go ahead.
Roughly 3,200 and sworn officers and 1,400 civilians. What is it today? 3,300 sworn officers and 1,300 civilians. And what's the difference between 2008 and today? How many millions more population have we grown? How many specialized units have been created? How many contracted cities are we representing now? Color Bay, Miami Lakes, Palmetto Bay, Airport, Port of Miami. These are all resources taken off the street. And I think to answer your number one question is, without raising taxes, we need to find cuts within the department to put more officers on the street and put more officers in investigations, because that's the only way that people go start feeling comfortable. They pick up the phone, cops get there within a reasonable amount of time, and they see them on the streets, they see them in the corners. I did this in Miami Lakes. I did this in Northwest District. They want to see visibility. They want to feel comfortable that the officers are out there. The second thing
Have you released a budget that would do that? Would you release a budget as part of your campaign? I want to spend this. I want to cut this. I mean, because you have to cut something if you're going to be raising taxes.
I'll tell you right off the bat one area we can cut. When I retired, we had 2 assistant directors and 4 division chiefs. Today we have 5 and 8 division chiefs. That's absolutely unacceptable. How many, if you cut some of those, how much money are you going to have just to create more classes?
So you believe that the administration is too top heavy?
I 100% agree with that. There's a lot of political appointments going on to do favors for people. That's number one example where we can cut, where we can do a training classes to put more cops in the street.
What's your second priority?
Listen, we have to be the best paid and best trained. It's not going to be something that happens overnight, but working with the PBA, we have to continue and supporting our police officers both on the job with all the different issues that they go through, and making sure that Miami-Dade Police Department is a very highly respected department throughout the United States. I've had the opportunities to do seminars and give seminars throughout the Americas, and everybody's always, oh, you're from Miami-Dade. It has that professionalism. We have to continue that. And the only way you're going to continue that is like, it's like having a business. If you don't innovate every single day, you become stale, and you become a agency that just diminishes over time. We can't do
that. If you're not moving forward, you're moving back.
Correct. And as a business owner, I have to be innovating every single day. So I've learned that as a business owner, and that's what I'm going to take back to the department. We must innovate every single day. We cannot be status quo like other candidates will tell you. I get calls. Hey, a candidate so-and-so called me and said that we cannot bring somebody from the outside or a retired guy, because then status quo would change. You bet the status quo needs to change, and needs to change every single day.
And your third priority?
The third priority is bringing my business experience to the table and looking at the department in ways we can improve. My first emphasis is always going to be, how can we put more cops on the street, more investigations on the street? But I want to work like I've done in Northwest District and the town of Miami Lakes in working with the community, working with the business leader, working with the stakeholders, and making sure that as one, we can identify where the crime trends are and address it. I'll give you a perfect example. When I was a major in Northwest District, everybody would see the TV or see in the newspaper that there was X, Y, or C incident going on. And they believed that it was also going on in the community. And I always tell them is, why don't we pull the stats in your specific area and what's going on, because it's important. Because if it's what's really going on is vehicle burglaries, for example,
right,
then you as a community could take actions to prevent that. And you're helping me do my job easier. So we need to make sure there's over 100 different languages spoken in Miami-Dade County. We need to make sure that every single community is, we have relationships with their community leaders, with the governmental leaders from those areas, with the business leaders, and we work together to find where the issues are and continue lowering crime.
So the big issue, and we have other issues to talk to, but I want to get to this one right now, Tony, and that is for Key Biscayners, the big issue is traffic on the Rickenbacker.
Correct.
So what happens is big events take precedent over their needs to go to and from home. You know, have you thought about this issue? And you know, because it's kind of a puzzle on how to really handle these big events and also handle local traffic.
You have, what's interesting about Key Biscayne is you have three different jurisdictions. You have the city of Key Biscayne, you have the city of Miami, and you have Miami-Dade County covering three different areas. And again, it comes down to, if you know in advance there are certain events going on, why can't we sit down with the three different agencies and come up with a plan to make sure that the residents here are taken care of? When I used to live in downtown Miami, before I was married, every year they did a marathon. I couldn't leave my condo because other streets were closed. There was no mechanism for me to get out unless I jumped on the train. And I always found it very frustrating. I can imagine that the residents of Key Biscayne are also very frustrated by that. But we need to work with the stakeholders and find out solutions. So when we know that there's an event, and you know these events when they're going to happen, it could be the major music event going on, or it could be a holiday, a beach event. What can we do to make it easier for the residents and those visiting to get in and get out faster?
How would you ever, I don't know if you were here for Ultra or you went through that experience here. Would you, in an event like that, there was something that really came up that said, I think this is ill-advised. This is a different office. Whoever is going to be elected is going to hold a lot more political juice.
Correct.
Because they're an independently elected officer. Would you go to the county commission or the city of Miami and say, this isn't going to work?
If it's going to provide a safety issue,
yeah,
100% I would do that. Because we need to make sure that everybody's informed of what the concerns are, rather than playing Monday morning quarterback after something happens. So absolutely, I agree with you.
Another big issue, and we've asked the other candidates about, I mean, and this is a sad one, yesterday was the anniversary of Parkland. We had a shooting in Kansas City. A lot of people hurt in celebration for the Super Bowl. We have now permitless carry in Florida, and there are still talk about having open carry. What is your view as a law enforcement professional on these issues?
First of all, on this issue and other issues, we're not here to create law. We're not here to pick and choose what laws we're going to support. So whatever Tallahassee and D.C. creates, we're here to enforce it. What I always tell people, now being as an attorney, I get calls all the time, what happens if this happens? What happens if that happens? If I'm inside my house. What I tell people is, if you're going to get a weapon, you need to get trained. The majority, I won't say vast, but the majority of the people that get shot by weapons are self-inflicted. And what I mean by that is they're cleaning their gun, they shoot themselves in the leg. Or they shoot another family member, or there's an accident. Train and take a class if you're going to have a weapon to make sure you understand how dangerous it is, understand what the laws are on the weapon, and you take precautions when you hold possession of that weapon.
Right, but I mean, do you the sheriffs collectively, they lobby Tallahassee, they have a big voice in the way policy is made. What would be your voice? Where are you on these issues?
As to the current...
The open carry, there are people still pushing for that. Would you support that or oppose that?
Again, it's not my position to pick and choose on what side I'm going to be at. I'm here to enforce it. So I'm not going to... The position of sheriff should be one that enforces the law, not one who tries to create law.
You've been, and like I've said before, I mean, working SVU is that's some hard policing, correct?
There's the very first day I was there, we had a unit that did computer related crimes, and they tell me, Major, how long you think it will take me to act as a 12-year-old girl to pick up somebody? Mm-hmm. I go, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. He goes, guess again, 30 minutes. He goes, you're going the wrong direction. Took him 12 seconds.
Wow.
What surprised me the most there were the horrific videos.
Oh, yeah.
That you will see, the horrific crimes that they did to children. It was hard to see, but the detectives, the special victims, are the top. They're very well experienced. They take these cases to heart, and they do everything they can to stop this graphic, this disgusting type of crime.
So what is your position on mental health for officers and mental health services, considering what happened to the lead candidate in this race?
Our department has its own mental health unit. But one of the concerns that I always hear about is I don't want to go there because everybody's going to find out. Yeah. I understand that in Tallahassee, there's a bill. I'm not sure what the status of the bill is, where officers will have their services paid if they go to somebody outside the department. And I think that's going to help a lot because we all need it. I mean, yeah. Cops get divorced. Cops have bad days. Cops are human beings like everybody else. And if we can provide those services.
The brain is an organ of the body and needs care.
Correct.
Like any other organ. Yeah.
And if we could provide services to our officers, I'm all for it because we need those officers right in order to do their jobs.
Yeah, that stigma is still within the police ranks. It's kind of dissipated among the general populace, but it's definitely among police officers. Correct. I'm going to fix it.
I'm the tough one. Yeah. I can hold it. Yeah. A lot of times cops don't want to share with their wives what happened that day. Why? Because then the next day, they're not going to want them to go to work because what happened?
Yeah. And it might have been a little clunky, but the reason I dovetailed that question with the last one is because when you're spending all day and you're looking at these horrific images, you need to be able to talk to somebody.
But are you going
to
go home and tell your wife?
Me?
Well, a spouse is not a therapist.
But
they're not.
But that's could be the opposite of one.
But yeah. But that's the only therapist that you might have. Because when you get home, that's where you disconnect. Yeah. And if you cannot speak to your wife because they will be scared of what you experience, who are you going to speak to?
Right.
You going to speak to other officers at a bar drinking?
Right.
Maybe. No.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
So we need to find solutions for them to be able to bring that out. And if it's that bill where they get outside help, I'm all for it.
All right. Time of the show that you're coming to an end. This is the time where you get to talk about your website and what's on it and what they can learn about it.
This is already over. I was enjoying these questions.
Well, we're unfortunately, if we had all the candidates on color? All the days, we'd be here.
Blue.
Yes. Me okay.
There we go.
Lightning round.
So the only way I can get my message out is through social media and website right now. And the opportunities of being on radio and having these podcasts. What I ask everybody is, you want to learn more about me, go on Instagram, Ignacio Alvarez for Sheriff. And you could go on the website, IgnacioAlvarezForSheriff.com.
Right. And let me spell it out. Ignacio Alvarez, F-O-R, Sheriff. Because some people get cute with the numbers.
So. Absolutely correct. All right. F-O-R for Sheriff. And on the Instagram page, you're going to see certain videos of people that are talking about who I am. And it's important for people to learn who I am because I'm not a politician. I got to get my name out. So I have individuals that are out there, an attorney, employees, and others that are doing videos that talk about me specifically so people can get to know who I am. So please visit Instagram. And if you like what you see, you like what you hear, thanks to my wife who's helped me out with it. But please follow us because that's how we get the message out.
Thank you for coming on Antisocial, Ignacio Alvarez. The primary election is in August.
Correct.
And August 20th. And then, it'll be another one in November. But if you're successful, we hope to see you again.
Not if. We will be successful.
There he is, a confident man. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.